Hello, good morning. This will make sense soon. Okay, so welcome to the third week of Advent. Last year, as we lit the different Advent candles, we repeated a simple refrain. I was wondering if anyone remembers the one that went with the blue peace candle. Anyone? To jog our memories, I thought I'd start with a little game. And for this, I need 5 to 6 volunteers, please. Yes! One? Any age? Anyone? Two? Three? Wonderful. Four? Any little ones? Oh, 5. One more maybe? Well, 5 is great. 5 is great. Okay. Well, that's very loud, isn't it? Okay, so the aim of this game is for you all to lower this piece of wood from eye level using just your index fingers, which are horizontal, so like that. But you have to work together, and all of you have to have your index fingers on the piece of wood the whole way down to the ground. So from eye level all the way down to the ground. So maybe, is that a good space to do it? Maybe we can do it. Yeah, there we go. All right, and what I need all of you to do is to watch them and make sure that they all have the index fingers on touching the wood at all times, all the way down. If they don't, they have to start again, right? So, there you go. So you have to, yes, index fingers, both index fingers, horizontal, all the way down. That makes it a bit harder, doesn't it? Okay, so from eye level. Oh. All of you. Yes, you can. There are no rules other than that. You can talk through the whole process. Oh, Grant, your fingers. Now, your fingers have to be horizontal. They can't be straight up. They have to be horizontal. You're going higher. You need to come down to the ground. Yes. Wonderful. How are they doing, audience? 50-50. How's it going? Doesn't help that the piece of wood is buckled, doesn't it? You can do it. I believe in you. Yep. Well done. Look at this, Elliot. What are they doing? Beautiful. How's it going? Keep it steady. Amazing. Ah, all the way down, perfect. I think as long as your hands touch the ground, you're good. Okay. Wonderful. Okay. You, well, actually, while you're up here, yes. Wonderful effort. Thank you. Wait, before you run away, I've got a few questions. While I've got you up here. You can answer in one or two words. But in one or two words, how did you find that experience?
Difficult to
Yeah. How did you feel as you all did that? Suspicious. Okay. Yeah, wonderful. And what did you have to do? What was the absolute essential thing that you had to do to achieve the aim of the game? You had to work together. All right.
There was a leader.
Okay.
And then we work as a team, wanting to see it actually working. There we work again.
Beautiful. So, what do you think the blue peace candle stands for? Anyone? Jesus is our peace. He helps us to work together and to get along with each other. Okay? So, all right, now that's the sermon. Thank you. Wonderful. Now you can go out again if you want to. All right. So, yes, what I hoped that the game would illustrate is that different people do things differently, and we all have different strategies. And sometimes that can lead to a bit of conflict or different ideas on how to do things. But to actually achieve the aim that we're all working towards, is actually we need to work together. We can't do it alone. So yes, the blue peace candle means Jesus is our peace. Jesus helps us to get along with each other. The passage we're reading from today is from Ephesians 2, verse 11 to 17. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation today. Don't forget that you Gentiles used to be outsiders. You were called uncircumcised heathens. Sorry, I'll wait for you to find the passage. So you were called uncircumcised heathens by the Jews, who were proud of their circumcision, even though it affected only their bodies and not their hearts. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from citizenship among the people of Israel, and you did not know the covenant promises God had made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. For Christ himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when in his own body on the cross he broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in himself one new people from the two groups. Together as one body, Christ reconciled both groups to God by means of his death on the cross, and our hostility toward each other was put to death. He brought this good news of peace to you Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to the Jews who were near. Let me begin with praying. Dear Jesus, make us eager to understand what it means to be united in you. Open our eyes to the walls of hostility we hold on to, that you break down. Help us to be agents of peace and reconciliation. Amen. This passage is found in a letter written to God's holy people in Ephesus in the latter half of the first century. The early churches by this time had been developing and growing for a few decades now. The language of hostility and reconciliation in verse 14, however, implies that all is not well within the congregations this letter is written to. There is a rift between the old and the new, the outsiders and the insiders, the uncircumcised and the circumcised, the Gentiles and the Jews. These two groups have been separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion. Verse 12 describes one group as knowing nothing of the rich history of God's covenants and promises in Israel. And verse 15 describes the other group to have held on so tightly to the fine print and footnotes within the commandments and laws that it hindered people more than it helped. Both are being blatantly called out on their past ways, and both are being implored to live in the good news of Jesus' peace and to work together in a new way of being. The word used in the original Greek text to describe this new way of being is anthropos. It relates to all genders created in the image of God, each equally vested with individual personhood and destiny. But not only this, it also refers to humankind in general, inclusive every adult and child, suggesting something of a great leveling of power, acknowledging the dignity of each person, no matter how small, how young, or how new to the faith. It's hard to translate into one word or verse, which is probably why every translation I read described it slightly differently. The New Revised Standard Version calls it one new humanity. The New Living Translation calls it one new people. And the Message Translation says a new kind of human being, a fresh start for everybody. It is no surprise, then, that the early church struggled to get this and to get what this new way of living was all about. And to be honest, I feel ill-qualified and ill-equipped to be talking to you about peace today. This is because I have struggled with the idea of peace for many reasons this year. It has been a tumultuous COVIDian year for most of us to begin with. But in my mind, it feels like I have really come to a place of quiet. One of the things I have been grappling with, for example, is how to parent well. So after yet another supermarket shop with a screaming toddler demanding a lolly from a certain mother who would not budge, I started reading a book by Dr. Laura Markham called Peaceful Parent, Happy Kids. Her book is incredibly insightful, full of scenarios that were painfully familiar and helpful frameworks for how to dissolve sticky situations with a toddler threatening to tantrum. But I also found the book profoundly challenging. Not because I disagreed with what I was reading, but because it was describing parenting strategies that were so different to my experience of being parented as a child. A major difference was the focus on choosing to calm myself before responding. Whether it is removing myself from the room, counting to 10, focusing on breathing, or closing my eyes. Being able to respond peacefully would require practice, and a lot of it. Because only then can I get out of the funk of needing to control, to hold the power, or needing to blame and shame. Only then can I see my child as a whole person whose frontal lobe is still forming, who's experiencing absolutely new emotions on a regular basis and hasn't yet got the cognitive ability to articulate what's going on for her. Only in that calm place can I see her reaching out for connection the only way she knows how. It is only then, in meeting her where she is at, trying to step into her shoes, that I can begin to think of creative ways to coach, play, encourage, affirm, soothe, and work together with her. This was a turning point of choosing to parent out of a place of acknowledging my child as a whole person, worthy of being treated with the same dignity and respect I would hope to be treated with. As an ideal, I love this, but in practice, it takes every ounce of patience, and then I fail, often. I regularly feel like I'm being called out on my past ways and being implored to embrace my child in a new way. And I'm constantly reminded I can't do this alone in my own strength. To quote Dr. Laura Markham, children learn to make peace when they practice encountering conflict and then successfully resolve it themselves using the skills that create peaceful outcomes. Skills like identifying and expressing their own needs, listening to others, seeing multiple perspectives, and problem solving to craft win-win solutions that serve everyone, like we saw, I think, in the game that we just played earlier. Peace cannot occur outside of relationship or without working together. Jesus is our peace. Jesus helps us get along with everyone. Another point that I kept coming back to as I read this text was the language used to describe peace in the active, here and now sense, as opposed to something we attain in the distant future. We often hear peace described in passive terms in everyday life, like rest in peace, or peace of mind, or I just need some peace and quiet. Or we pray for peace that surpasses all understanding. But verse 13 says, but now you have been united in Christ. But now you have been brought near to him. There is an urgency that challenges us to see peace not as an eschatological, reserved for heaven type concept, but one that we are active participants of in the here and now, as part and parcel of restoring God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. It requires a constant reminding, a constant choosing, a humility, a willingness to surrender control and power, and a dependence on the Prince of Peace. Jesus is our peace. Jesus helps us to get along with each other. Peace cannot occur outside of relationship or without working together. The relationships we have within each of our nuclear families is perhaps the place where peacemaking and working together plays out most in our daily lives. This takes a lot of practice, emotional energy, and patience. A constant looking in the mirror at the reflection of who we are in Jesus, and measuring this image against that self that gets triggered, the self that fails, and the self that through Jesus' life can be motivated to work on the repair. However, this passage is not talking about peace only within the context of a nuclear family or between any two people. It is actually talking about peace between two people groups. Between people who are so different, they have been separated by centuries of animosity and suspicion. I wonder if any people groups come to mind for you that for one reason or the other may be the recipients of your suspicion and hostility? Are they people of a different race, a different gender, a different social status, a different worldview, a different religious affiliation? This passage implores us to get along with those people, to work together with those people. And if you're anything like me, this is an area of peacekeeping and peacemaking that often falls in the too hard box, the too distant box, the too complicated box. And yet when we read this passage, this is the sort of peacemaking that is not an option for us. It is a mandate given to all of us through Jesus Christ. Last weekend, I think I caught a glimpse of what this peace can look like. For centuries, Christians have fought over pieces of scripture to the point where their differences became irreconcilable. And this has led to church splits and the formation of many, many different denominations. And yet last weekend, at our community carol service, we saw people from all the different denominations represented in Island Bay come together. It was beautiful. We saw them put aside their differences and work together to bring the message of hope and good news to the community. The message of peace, the message of reconciliation, the message of unity. Together, we celebrated the coming birth of Jesus, the Prince of Peace, who breaks down barriers and inspires and motivates us to work together and get along with each other. So to finish, I'll pray. Dear Jesus, Prince of Peace, open our hearts and our eyes to the opportunities around us, in our families, in our communities, in our nation, and in our world, where we can be agents of peace, of restoring unity, and of working together with those who are different to us. Amen.